Our reading this morning is by Richard Gilbert. It's entitled, We Are All More Human Than Otherwise. The human race is a vast rainbow bursting into view of white and black, red, yellow, and brown. Yet for all, blood is red, the sky is blue, the earth brown, the night dark. In size and shape, we are a varied pattern of tall and short, slim and stout, elegant and plain. Yet for all, there are fingers to touch, hearts to break, eyes to cry, ears to hear, and mouths to speak. In tongue, we are a tower of Babel, a great jumble of voices grasping for words, groping for ways to say love, peace, pity, and hope. Faiths compete, claiming the one way, saviors abound, pointing to salvation. Not all can be right, not one. We are united only by our urge to search. Boundaries divide us, lines drawn to mark our diversity, maps charted to separate the human race from itself. Yet a mother's grief, a father's love, a child's happy cry, a musician's sound, an artist's stroke batter the boundaries and shatter the walls. Strength and weakness, arrogance and humility, confidence and fear live together in each one, reminding us that we share our common humanity. We are all more human than otherwise. Our worship leader, Rachel, shared the story of how her friend Alice helped her realize that she not only had more in common than otherwise regarding their different faiths and understandings of Christianity, but they also found their common humanity despite differences in health, age, and other life experiences. Last week, I talked about the power of honoring differences and how our nation's metaphor of the melting pot doesn't serve us well in recognizing the power, strength, and beauty that our individual differences bring to the table. Instead, I suggested that we might be in a stage of development called minimization. This is part of a developmental theory called the intercultural development continuum. It shows the stages of development in increasing awareness and ability to navigate differences in culture. And of the stages, minimization is stage 3. I talked about how the majority of us, especially white liberals, test in stage 3 if we take the test. And that's a stage where the goal is to minimize difference in order to find commonality with other people. We're all the same deep down, says someone in minimization. Or they might say, I don't see you as Mexican, you're just like me. The problem with minimization or with the melting pot is that these things require us all to be the same. They seek to find commonality, but in doing so, they erase the beautiful things that make us unique. Saying, I don't see you as Mexican, erases part of that person's identity that is Mexican. And people don't like having parts of their identities erased. At the end of last week's sermon, I suggested the idea of a salad bowl or a mosaic for a better metaphor for our country than a melting pot, some image that allows us each to retain our unique, diverse identities without mushing them all together in a pursuit of commonality. Someone emailed me later in the week and suggested cookie jar as the metaphor because cookies are yummier than salads. I agree. But what we're looking for is not just a conglomeration of a bunch of diverse parts. We want a community. We want something that binds them together. For the mosaic, we don't just want a bunch of pieces of glass, we need the grout. For the salad, who loves a bowl of raw veggies? We need dressing. For the cookie jar, I don't know. But I do know that in a cookie jar, all the different cookies do start to kind of smell the same, so maybe that's it. What is it that binds us together in our beautiful diversity? It's our commonalities. It's the things that are different about us that encourage us to grow and learn and create beauty. Without those differences, we would never be challenged to step outside our comfort zone, to grow, to change, to learn. but it's the things that are the same about us that create and encourage connections. These past several weeks, as our national government enforced a zero-tolerance policy on what they deemed illegal immigration at the border, our news channels and social media feeds were flooded with the images and sounds of families being separated, children crying or huddling in cages with aluminum blankets, of parents tearfully explaining their situation, begging for the return of their children. I cannot even fathom their experience. I have never had to flee my home. I've never had to leave my country in search of a new life. I don't have the same skin color or culture or religion as many of these people on the news. I don't speak the same language as them. These are the things about us that are different. And each of those things is important. I honor their culture, their language, their homeland. I certainly honor their experience. But those things are not what make me break down in tears at the image on my computer screen. It's not those differences between us that make me call my congresspeople in anger and despair. It's our commonalities. I cry because that little child looks strikingly like my own son. I cry because I recognize the heart-rending fear in the heart of that mother. Because as a mother, I know that having a child is like having your own heart walking around outside your body. The very thought of being separated from my child makes me double over in sickening heartbreak. Even if I didn't have children, the humanity in the eyes of those parents, those kids, the common recognition of shared emotions, fear, love, hope, despair, those are the things that would help me connect to those people at the border who are not illegals. They're not illegals. They are not aliens. They are not animals. They are people. They are people like me, like you. Our Unitarian Universalist faith is grounded not in beliefs, but in principles. These are affirmations that we strive to make real in the world. These statements of principle live not in our brains, but in our hearts and in our hands. The first of our 7 UU principles says that we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. This one is a favorite of UU's. We like to quote this principle whenever people ask us what we believe. Never mind that it's not a belief. It's something that we say we all agree on, and it sounds lovely, but it's not easy. Another way to say this principle is that we agree and we work toward the born-in, God-given, naturally endowed. That's what inherent means. Born in, God-given, naturally endowed, no one, nothing can take it away. Value and worthiness, that everyone should be treated in such a way that demonstrates that worthiness, respect, and humanity. We believe those things about everyone. Everyone, every person. We believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, not some people, not a few people, not only people on our side of the border, not only people who look like us, not only people who think like us. Everyone has inherent worth and dignity. Those parents and children who've been separated at the border because of their desire to live in our country, they have inherent worth and dignity. And so do the immigration officials and even the government officials who are enforcing our immigration laws. They too have inherent worth and dignity. Now, this is hard. It's hard to remember the inherent worth and dignity of people who are carrying out actions that we find reprehensible. Our first principle does not call us to agree with them or to aid and abet them? By all means, protest. Protest the unjust immigration policies. Fight against actions that dehumanize people and tear apart families. But do not dehumanize and demonize the other side. They are not monsters. They are people. And I fear for their hearts and for their souls too. I ache for the children whose trauma in these weeks and months will follow them for the rest of their lives. But I also ache for the ICE officers who hear the cries of these children and have had to bury parts of their own humanity because they've been ordered not to comfort those children. What does that do to a person? It's our commonalities, it's our common humanity that help us find that connection, both with the child and with the officer. In recent years, our own Unitarian Universalist Association has come to terms with the way that our faith tradition has been complicit in the minimization of differences, particularly ones related to race and culture. We've wondered why our congregations are mostly white, but then we repeat patterns of white culture, and we ask people of color to conform to these norms. We assume that our beliefs are universal. If other people just knew about Unitarian Universalism, then they would join us. We minimize the ways that people's particular experiences, cultures, beliefs, and traditions might vary, and the ways that we are not always as welcoming as we think we might be. This awakening has been hard. It's been hard for many UUs. It's been hard for many congregations. It has resulted in an upheaval about a year and a half ago that resulted in the resignation of then president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, Peter Morales, and the charge from our UUs of color for our congregations to engage in education about the ways that white supremacy culture has manifested itself in our congregations. And we here have done some of that work and will continue to do so. In response to this awakening over the years, and particularly recently, we have worked hard to uplift our emphasis on diversity, on difference. This is a good thing. It's good to lift up difference. But it also has a shadow side. Uplifting difference for the sake of difference is not inclusion. It's not diversity. It's tokenism. If minimization says, I don't acknowledge the ways that we're different because we're the same, then tokenism says, I see and celebrate our differences, but I forget the ways that we are the same. I'm going to say that again. If minimization says, I don't acknowledge the ways we're different because we're the same, tokenization can say, I see and celebrate our differences, but I forget the ways that we are the same. A mosaic without the grout is just a pile of glass. A grout without the glass is just cement. In order to create the beautiful image, the whole vibrant, colorful picture, we need the glass pieces and the grout. We need our differences and our commonalities. I have a friend whose name is Scott, who tells the story of visiting a friend with his two kids, including his older son, Simon, who at the time was about six. Simon is a little shy, and the friend doesn't have kids or interact with them much. The story goes that Simon and the friend both woke up before everyone else, but Scott could hear them in the other room talking. The friend was working really hard to make a connection with Simon without much luck until he mentioned baseball. Baseball? Simon asked, excitement in his voice. And from there, they struck up a great conversation about the game they both love, despite their difference in age, geography, and conversation style. If we reduce each other only to similarities or only to differences, we see a boring two-dimensional image, not the rich, complex, multidimensional human being in front of us. And so I'm gonna have us engage in an experiment. I notice, even here at the fellowship, when we try really hard to be welcoming and honor each other in our full humanity, that even we tend to have a tendency to make assumptions about each other. We assume, rightly or wrongly, that we are all the same in some way, or that we're all different in some way. Only by unearthing these identities and characteristics, which aren't obvious or readily available, we will know more about each other and be able to honor the ways that we are different, which is good, and the ways that we are the same, which is also good. So here's the experiment. I'm going to say an identity or a characteristic. Some of these might be less serious, like I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. Okay, maybe that's really serious, sorry. Or maybe we'll say, Halloween is my favorite holiday. If those resonate with you, if you say, yes, that's me, then I would like you to stand. If standing is not possible, then I invite you to raise your hand. I will also name some identities and characteristics that are more serious or more sensitive, things connected to race or sexual identity. You do not have to engage in this experiment, particularly if it doesn't feel safe to you. You do not have to answer any of the questions, or you can answer some but not all. Certainly, if something doesn't feel safe, don't do it. Don't do it. But I want you to search your heart about the difference between safety and discomfort or vulnerability. If something just feels uncomfortable or vulnerable, then try it. Engaging with vulnerability is how we grow, particularly in spaces like this one, where we strive to honor each other in our full humanity. After I name each characteristic or identity, I'll give you a moment to stand, look around, see who is with you, who has their hands up, who's still seated. Don't judge, just notice. In this way we're similar, in this way we're different. And then sit back down. Notice that groups of people will stand for one thing but not others, and how the group will change and intersect and overlap with each new statement. So are you willing to do this experiment with me? Great, I will do it too. I will raise my hand for things that apply to me. So, let's start really serious. Please stand or raise your hand if you are a Packers fan. Please stand or raise your hand if Halloween is your favorite holiday. If summer is your favorite season. Stand or raise your hand if you identify as white. If you identify as a person of color or indigenous. If you don't like coffee. Stand or raise your hand if you are lesbian, gay, bisexual, pansexual, demisexual, asexual, or queer. Stand or raise your hand if you identify as cisgender. That's if you identify with the gender that you were assigned at birth, or if your gender and biology, quote unquote, match. If you identify as transgender, gender queer, gender fluid, agender, or gender nonconforming. If you identify as a dog person. If you identify as a cat person. If you believe in God or a higher power or identify as theist or pantheist. Stand or raise your hand if you believe in no God, or you identify as atheist or agnostic. If you were born in another state other than Wisconsin. If you were born in another country other than the United States. If you have a chronic illness or disability, either visible or invisible. If you have experienced addiction in your life. And finally, please stand or raise your hand if you want to have love, safety, health, or connection. Thank you for doing this experiment with me. Really, truly. It was brave, It was brave of you. And I hope that you looked around and you saw some things that you thought, oh yeah, I think I knew that. Or some things where you really learned something about yourself and the people with whom you share this religious community. We are a beautiful, powerful mosaic of people, many colors, many facets, many patterns, and we are bound by the connective power of our commonalities. Deep down, we are all human. As Richard Gilbert said in the reading we heard earlier, boundaries divide us, lines drawn to mark our diversity, maps charted to separate the human race from itself, yet a mother's grief, a father's love, a child's happy cry, a musician's sound, an artist's stroke, batter the boundaries and shatter the walls. Strength and weakness, arrogance and humility, confidence and fear live together in each one, reminding us that we share our common humanity. We are all more human than otherwise. Amen. May it be so.